Originally, we intended to go back to the airplane to work on the speech and then meet everyone else in St. Louis at the end of the day. In fact, I was hoping to do that in order to avoid this grueling bus trip. It was awful. But turns out that we were supposed to, they wanted us to work with the governor on the speech on the airplane. We had met with the governor the previous day evening. Monday, well actually Tuesday now, October And we'll see if they're so tired and stuff. Just fall asleep as I was dictating the mail. And I've had another long and exhausting day. Let me back up the room, pick up what happened on Saturday, and then we'll complete this. As quickly as I can, because I have to get up early again tomorrow. We're doing the ride with the Reagans and the limousines. John Reagan edited, worked on the speech. He used to give on Sunday the peace speech. We'd actually not had much of a chance to look at it, and I was still helping in the edit, but actually he really just wanted time on his own. So Mrs. Reagan indicated that he should just sit quietly and ride. I was sort of squinched up against the front, sitting in the jump seat in the briefcase, tucked up against my feet. Mrs. Reagan was sitting directly behind me, very close to the airway, bent across from the other jump seat. Obviously not a whole lot of room. She seemed to not mind very much. I apologized for the inconvenience. Reagan sat there quietly working on the speech for most of the trip. From time to time, he would see lots of people standing alongside the road and would take his glasses off quickly, look up and smile and wave, and then put his glasses back on and bend down again and begin working on it. It was easier when it was open stretches of farmland to drive in where there would be no people standing by the side of the road. It was really mostly a very quiet trip. A couple of times, Reagan looked up and he was annoyed at the one thing that references to John F. Kennedy in the speech. He said to me, "Who put those in?" "Well, Bill Gavin put them in, but I didn't tell Reagan that." I said, "Well, they were put in as a result of the efforts we were making to get blue collar Democratic votes." And Reagan said, "Well, you know, he wasn't such a great president." And I didn't dispute him in the ear to Bill Gavin. The point was you could use him as a rhetorical tool. But anyway, he was annoyed at that and took it out. And then he was also said he wanted to tone down the personal qualities of the speech, that he could not attack credit for personalizing the campaign and then do it himself. He's an excellent editor. Does a pretty good job of putting things into his own words. It's interesting, you know, like I said, he's annoyed. When he gets angry, he doesn't really get angry. At least I've not seen it yet. Perhaps I will. Sometimes he seems almost apologetic when he makes changes. In any event, we worked on that all the way to the Rehnquist farm. And we turned in and drove up to the house. As soon as Reagan got out of the car, he went to the hog barn. This man had a short round. Very interesting operation, and Reagan learned a great deal from it. Then he spoke at the farm, the question was whether Mrs. Reagan had indicated that I would sit in with him once again on the next leg of the trip to edit. Now, for one thing, I was a little uncomfortable that Bill Gavin wasn't in with us, since he had done more work on the speech than I had. So I said, well, what I suggested later that might be that we ride on the bus and work on it, and that way more people could discuss it. And so we got Reagan on the bus in the back a little table set up, and then we worked on the speech a little more. go back into the room and looking over at Reagan, who's sitting on the right side of the car, while I'm sitting on the left side behind the driver. And the sun is getting fairly low in the sky. It must have been 4 o'clock or so in the afternoon. And the sun was shining in through the window and sort of reflecting across Reagan's face. Thank you. Bill Casey, the campaign manager, also came down where I was working on the speech and asked that a couple of things be put in it. Things were getting hectic, and so the taping would start at 2, and I talked to Bill Brothers. He said he wanted me at